Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
From Chuck and Chernoff and the entire Fan family. Thanks so much for dialing us in on this Thursday afternoon. We are live at the Atlanta Community Food Bank. You can find out more about this wonderful organization and help out so many folks who do not have food on their table over the holidays by going to acfb.org. We're with you till 6. That's when the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag will follow with Dylan Short.
What?
We'll come your way. Then we've got high school championship action tonight to look forward to on the Fan. Our buddy Brandon Joseph will be behind the mic on that to game, so look forward to all that on the Fan and the Fan mobile app this evening. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Chuck's got a college football today. We call it a CFT in 5 minutes. What can we look forward to?
An SEC program is achieving at a... I can't hear myself. I don't hear myself.
It's because your ears are stuffed up to
hell. Okay.
What?
What?
Go again.
Should I start over?
What?
All right. Stop. An SEC program... Okay, now I hear myself.
Yeah, you're great.
An SEC program is achieving at a historical level. And it's never felt like less.
You're battling right now.
I'm fine.
I'm
pushing through, man. We're good.
So while we all slept, the Padres spent some money, and Xander Bogaerts joins what they hope for at least a year will be an all-star lineup of a bunch of rich dudes, and especially guys who played one certain position. Catch you off guard with that?
No, absolutely. I apologize.
This is your Padres spending a lot of money. Hoyt, what do we do with him?
I'm good. Now, the Padres have nearly $1 billion in shortstops on the same roster. All this right. is not the amount that overall the class is going to get. This is not amount of players who have left the Red Sox in the past three offseason. This is Manny Machado, who signed a 10-year, $300 million contract with the Padres. And I got to say, when $300 million got our attention, this is Fernando Tatis Jr., who somehow got a 14-year, $340 million deal. And now, of course, the Bogaerts deal. So they're at, by full math, $920 million. There's an opt-out. There's a buyout. There's all kinds of things. But by the length of those contracts, and I got news for you, Machado, they don't want him going anywhere. He's a monster. He's an MVP caliber guy. He's a rock over there at third. But the Padres, when I say I wasn't expecting them to be in the Bogaerts thing, mm-hmm. part of it is because the Machado thing, Tatis coming up, you're like, all right, this guy is supposed to be a monster, and he's right after this. All right, and remember Machado with the Dodgers, he's like, I am a shortstop. All right, I'll play third. That they already had two shortstops they had invested in. This should at least be like a pink flag for the Braves that – you got a choice. Either cotton up to Vaughn Grissom at short, or Matt, I haven't even explored this. We know who Bogaerts and Correa. Who's the fifth best free agent shortstop, or who's the best? Who's the next free agent in line who can be a full time shortstop?
You're not going to like my answer. I think it's Elvis Andrus.
He's 38.
I don't know if he might be. I don't think he's that old, but I think what you would get is just good defense, some stroke. Like, he's got a plus 700 OPS.
Okay,
but
is there a shortstop in the minors who's a year away? Because that sounds like what Elvis is.
No, remember, now, Ron Washington is working with Grissom, and I don't know if this is just stuff you say publicly. He seems to believe Vaughn can handle it. I don't think the Braves would do it right away, but let's go back. I want to work back to the Braves here.
Be 35 next year.
So the Padres, they might not have needed Xander Bogaerts, but I'm telling you, the God's honest. When you strike out publicly, because everybody around me always tells me it's bad when you get turned down publicly by a coach. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what that means. Everybody says it. The Padres were publicly turned down by Aaron Judge. They offered him $40 million more. He went back to the Yankees. The Padres were publicly turned down by Trey Turner. He went to Philly for less. They have all this money. They got the bag.
They don't know how long they got Soto.
It's what the kids call the bag. They got the bag. And they're like, we got to spend the bag. So what we're going to do, because I'm sure they would want to move Tatis, who was a butcher at short. Now they can. They give Bogarts 11 and 280. They can move Tatis to the outfield or DH or just somewhere away from shortstop. And now they can say, see, fans, we got something big. Now, to your point, Dennis Lynn, who's a beat writer for the Padres, said the expectation is Machado will opt out after next season, and they think it's a surprise if he stays. Like, there's a pretty good chance he gets away.
Man, that's a big, big, that's a lot of money. That's a big hole, man. Well, he's been so good.
Dennis Lynn writes, it's also discussed as a long shot that they keep Soto because Soto could get a bigger deal somewhere else. So their thinking with Bogarts is we get 1 year where we have Manny, Bogarts, Tatis, and this group, and Soto all together. Here's where I am at 45 years old. There ain't a better place to play than San Diego, California. And I look at Trey Turner, who I know is an East Coast guy, and he has family, and he's got buddies on the Phillies. Hell to that. Same thing I would say to Aaron Judge. I could have gotten the hell out of New York, and that media storm that's always facing me, and I could have gone, lived on the beach, made that money, have an easy existence where media is just like
quality
Atlanta
life.
Media. Right? And they both turned it down. What a weird thing. They're like, San Diego should be, that's heaven on earth. And the players are telling you, New York, Philly, everywhere else. Back to the Braves? I bet when Alex Anthopoulos woke up this morning, now he already knows probably what the Dansby finale is. He saw what Xander got and went, yeah, we better pivot.
Oh, it could be the... He doesn't seem to get caught off guard.
No.
It could just be the confirmation of this is what we kind of thought. Or maybe like maybe they made an offer to Xander. Like to offer you a 6-year, $22 million. Hello? And maybe that was the rude awakening. Agent don't care what you're... Agent don't care that you just got executive of the year.
No, I know. I don't think... Alex is caught off guard by any means, but I didn't hear one prediction from people I trust that ever predicted Xander Bogarts to get 11 years. The AAV is one thing. You got 25. Big deal. That's probably in the ballpark. Turner, 27 in the 11 years. Like, I thought we were out of the 11-year business, and apparently we're not.
It's now become a little 2- or 3-season kiss at the end. That's kind of, well, I'm a top guy, so I get, obviously, the extra year or 2 or 3, it's the Pujols, Miggy.
You're going to pay Xander Bogarts until he's 41.
I'm not.
Now, let me say this.
I don't think the Padres will.
But let's say this. You think these GMs give an F about 11 years from now? They're not going to be there.
No. Is Robinson Cano paid off now, finally?
He might be. That was last year's final.
Whoever signed him in Seattle, that GM in...
No, they don't care.
There's no way that GM's there.
They probably have 2 more GMs since.
I just got a second baseman hit 25 a year.
Right. How did I get him? I gave him that much money that long. I won't have to worry about it.
The next guy was like, all right, who can I push him off to?
That's exactly
right. Hey, the Mets.
It's fascinating. We'll see what happens, though. We could get Dansby news at any time. There was a prediction, I think, was it Bowman who was on yesterday in the Braves Clubhouse report, said we could get some clarity on Dansby by the weekend. So we'll see how that one plays itself out. We are headed to Las Vegas.
Vegas!
Yes, indeed. Georgia fans, let me update you on our trip. Atlanta Sports Trips is headed out to a combo of Las Vegas and Los Angeles for the National Championship
Weekend.
Atlanta
Sports Travels or something like that.
What a website that would be. No, this is ATL Sports Trips, and I'll be 100%. I want to be as honest as possible. We are almost sold out.
What?
I said we're almost sold out.
I apologize.
Our block of rooms and our luxury motor coach, you're going to have to act quick. A ton of people in the last 24, 40 hours have jumped on this. What do you get? You get a chance at 3 nights at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. You're going to get luxury motor coach transfer from the MGM Grand on Monday morning at 10 a.m. They will drop you at the front door at SoFi Stadium for the national championship game. Tickets are available for purchase by request. You ask, we'll look. So you can book at atlsportstrips.com, and you can book worry-free. If Georgia does not somehow show up in the title game, it's fully refundable. But again, we are almost sold out. So atlsportstrips.com is where you want to go.
Off his back foot.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta, because money matters.
Good to be the king.
Duffy Realty, ATL.com. If you're ready to sell your house, get it on the market. Inventory is low, and interest rates and inventory is really low. And so give it to Rhonda, and you also have built-in flexibility to kind of combat some of those rates because you pay Rhonda so little. So there's a lot of upside there, a lot of blue sky still available by using Rhonda, DuffyRealtyATL.com. I said that there is an SEC program. It really is achieving at a historical level, and it's never felt like less. When I say a historical level, Mississippi State is going to its 13th straight bowl game. Until this streak started, the program had been to 13 bowl games ever. Four bowls each December. I get all that still. It's not nothing. And it's across multiple coaches, including one that's fired. So you've got that going for you. And it looks so inadequate compared to what's happening upstate with the Rebels. I mean, could there be a bigger disparity in either vibe, excitement, look to the future, what we got going on, than Mississippi State looking at Ole Miss and going, oh, they got Lane, they got the guy everybody wanted, that everybody was trying to get, that he works the portal perfectly, and he is developing his quarterback, and he's doing all of this. Do you know what a Mississippi State fan also must be thinking? Do y'all realize we won the Egg Bowl this year, and we finished with the exact same record as Ole Miss and beat them? And the vibe, the look, they're the cool team. Yeah, but on the field, we were actually better. And then after the season, what happens? Boom. Best receiver, one of the most productive in the SEC, takes off for the portal. It seems that even, and that's every teams go 8-4, loses players to the portal. Georgia may go 15-0, lose players to the portal. It happens to everybody. For Mississippi State, it's about wide receivers looking around going, it's just a little bit bigger commentary from Ra-Ra Davis getting the portal that what Mike Leach is known for, I've decided that's actually what I'm going to get away from. And then you saw Dylan Johnson as well, who made the comment that, and because Coach Leach explained to me that I'm not tough enough to play in the SEC, and he's glad that I'm leaving, I guess I'll go ahead and leave. So a lot of drama going on. You would never know that this is where the program is right now, but it really is.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Coming up next, I want you guys to imagine Arthur Smith saying this next week.
If you don't go curl your hair, I'll go find another Latina girl to replace you.
Okay, that would be weird. Why would he say no? I want you to imagine Arthur Smith saying this.
You look like you ate a plate of salt.
All right, he might say that. It's not that either.
How have you enjoyed gaining the freshman 15?
If he does say it, it will drive Falcon fans absolutely crazy. We'll talk about it next. You know what I had to do yesterday? I got Josh a virtual visit for a pink eye.
That had to cost you like $300.
I'll get a bill for that.
I've done the Teladoc.
So it was awesome.
I got that ED medicine.
What?
Hey.
That was clearly during the commercial break.
Just slides right down your throat. You don't taste it.
And Adam is has fixed the issue, which is great. We're happy for him. Adam,
I've got more incest than you do.
I think he meant incense, but that's fine. We're live at the Atlanta Community Food Bank here until 6 o'clock. That's when the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag will follow with Dill. The young Dylan Short will take over and run with our evening tonight before some high school championship football. If you want to find out more about the great organization here with the Atlanta Community Food Bank, go to acfb.org. Coming up in 5 minutes, Kirby's always willing to create a message to aid recruiting.
You come here, you will get horizontal and all the blow you can handle.
I mean, in the mid-80s, that could have been the Miami way to kind of go about things, but that's not Kirby's specific message. Just know this, sometimes it just happens. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, the news came out today, and I think Ian Rappaport was first to
Ian Rappaport is a douche.
That's not the news. That's an opinion. That the Falcons were going to start Desmond Ridder next Sunday. And a bunch of other media folks that I trust have said the same thing. Can I give you a what if that'll drive people nuts? What if Arthur Smith, on the last day of his bye week on Sunday, sitting in his barca, there in the Florida room watching football on Sunday, and there is in front of him the Niners and the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he sees Tampa lose to Brock Purdy and the Niners 24-17. He starts doing the math. He's like, oh, they're 6-7. We're 5-8. We play a division game this week. It's a conference game. All right, I've changed my mind. He gets up to the podium Monday and says, yeah, I don't know where you guys got this thing about Desmond Ridder. Marcus Mariota gives us the best chance to win. Can you imagine what, for a Falcon fan base that has been pretty tame because the team hasn't been very good, people would lose their ish in a way that they haven't lost their ish around here in a long time. Not because we know Desmond Ridder is going to be some great game-changing quarterback, because we've seen enough of Marcus to know that what Marcus is not good enough to matter. Now, I don't think that'll happen. I think it was the perfect time with the bye for them to do this. In fact, I could have argued maybe a few weeks earlier, but fine, they wanted to ride it out because they were in a playoff race. But if Arthur was to do what I'm talking about, do an about-face because the Tampa Bay Bucks lose, you would all lose your minds. In fact, I think Arthur has been too reactionary to what Tampa's not done, kind of sort of guiding his decision. I know what he said, that Marcus gives us the best chance. Now, I can twist those words around by saying it means Desmond's not ready, means Marcus gives him a better chance than Desmond. I would push back on all of it by saying, when is the quarterback ever really ready as a rookie? The answer's probably not to the coach's liking, but don't you have to throw the kid in the pool at some point to see if he can swim? Isn't that part of this?
Yeah, and this season, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of risk in doing that overall. You're right. They're not teetering on the edge of probably even a playoff win, but not an NFC championship, not a Super Bowl championship. They could have a division championship. They could. Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
And, like, watching Tom Brady again the other night, here's the truth. He was pretty average for, like, 3.5 quarters, and then you're like, you got to be kidding me.
But would you agree he's still the best part of that team? That team's so flawed.
Oh,
anyways,
God,
he's still
yes.
the best thing on that team.
And so they it's not only they were losing, folks, they weren't losing like 41-28. They were losing like the Saints had all their points right. And the Bucks had three.
So that's 16-3 with 4 minutes left.
And then all of a sudden, the Bucks win.
Yeah.
If you can win a division, you try to win a division. Here is why what you're saying is less likely to occur. Because do you agree, you said that he's watching and this happens, and so he decides, I never confirmed that. And so his first public comments are, no, Marcus is our starter.
Where'd y'all hear that?
Do you believe he's already had a conversation with Marcus and Desmond?
I do.
That's the one that matters.
I would ask this question.
You can't go back to Marcus now and go, actually, you're going to be the starter. You can't do that.
Do you? Where do you think this leaked?
Well, who's the benefit?
I don't know if it benefits anybody. I mean, I don't know if it hurts or helps. I'm just curious.
I think, like, it probably benefits.
It's not like you're selling tickets on
Coach
the road.
Arthur for the. It benefits Coach Arthur in that he doesn't have to directly address that he backtracked or changed his mind or anything else. That he can just say,
maybe.
Got out, and you can slow play the reaction. Because Coach Arthur has been pretty, I don't want to say headstrong. He's been
stubborn.
Yeah, sure.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not comparing in any means the Braves and the Falcons and how they go about stuff. But I've always said when the Braves want you to know something, they tell you. Falcons are out of the building till Monday. So it's not a huge deal that it broke by any means or that it got leaked. I'm just, from a curiosity standpoint, is it Desmond's agent? Is it Mariota frustrated? Is it, you know, a coach that has a relationship with an insider? I don't know.
I always wonder who does it benefit when it leaks.
I just don't know if this. Do you think this has some benefit to it?
I think that if you're going to make a change, I think that Coach Arthur has been very, like, he would view this somehow as a weak moment doing what is the. If you come up with 10 scenarios how the rest of this season goes, whether it includes one playoff game or not, like, any of them that don't involve, and we found out this about Desmond Ridder, that's the bad scenario.
Agreed.
So this is the right way to go, but Coach Arthur has not been so self-evaluative that maybe he could have that. I don't know. I'm guessing.
The biggest problem with all this is they were never really a playoff.
I mean, have you seen anything from him?
Team.
Hey, guys, I was so wrong.
No, I don't even know if I need that so much, but
I don't need it.
I
don't care what he says.
Again, I think he's been too reactionary to a bad division and trying to convince himself they could stay in it.
A division championship ain't a bad thing. Dan Quinn had an NFC championship. They got him how many more years?
You're right. But Desmond Ridder and finding out something about him is more important than the division championship. I know that's not in the moment more popular or the right answer, but it's the truth.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
All right, coming up in 5 minutes, we'll have a special guest here from the Atlanta Community Food Bank to give us a little detail on exactly how you guys can help to make some holiday plans a little bit easier for some folks around Atlanta. Before, though, we dive into that, we know Kirby Smart is always looking for the edge in recruiting. So creating a message to help that, it's always something Kirby's about.
Yeah, and then sometimes it just kind of grows organically. UGA coming off a national championship. And in August, Kirby still looked at the returning players and then pointed to a true freshman, Malachi Starks, and said, all right, he's better. He's going to play. And that has turned into starting, and that has turned into, I believe, freshman All-American. That not only, when he decided that back at the beginning of the season, that not only, if that's when they decided it and it wasn't spring, I was told they knew in spring, wait a minute, we got something. And they didn't know because he's a freshman. And the further away from a line of scrimmage a freshman is, the dicier it can get. And they're like, but we think we got something. So it not only put the better player on the field, but it also, and I'm, folks, this is so valuable. It sends a message to every stud who is already in Athens and is an upperclassman. Oh, damn. And it sends a message to every stud UGA is recruiting. All right? We're already better than everybody else. And if you are too, you play. Now, this guy here, he's proof. He's 18. He's starting for the team that just won the national championship over a junior who we looked at and said, yeah, this kid, he's better. He plays. I've always said there is some degree of just bottom line coldness if you're going to win a national championship. I'll throw Coach O out because I don't think he, on an individual basis, sure, but as far as how he ran his program, not really. I also know that Georgia lost way more than normal on defense. And that there were snaps available, but they're also UGA and Kirby. And after Indianapolis, they had all the hardware after Indianapolis. So it could have been the portal. It could have been high school kids. It could have been whoever Kirby wanted. And he signed Starks and was like, we good. Now, here's the funny thing. As much as I've talked about Malachi Starks and his great coverage skills and all that this year, it's not a corner. He's a safety. He's Minka Fitzpatrick, yep. Folks. Just to put into perspective the difference between a safety and a corner and how valuable they are, Minka Fitzpatrick is now, he's got like half of his fifth season left.
He just had a pick in the Falcon game.
He's got Pittsburgh. He's got 17 career interceptions, and he's taken four back for touchdowns. Jair Alexander, Green Bay just made him the highest paid corner. He was taken in the same draft. He's got 9 picks and no scores. That's how different you can be if you can do something with a ball in your hands. Malachi Starks, I just can't get enough what that kid is, man. He is so good back there.
I don't have any disagreement with. The only thing I would say is I don't think it's coldness anymore in college football. When you're at Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State or Michigan or one of these, I hope the kids know, as much as your feelings can get hurt as an upperclassman, I think you understand what he's running as a machine. And when a machine is running that way, if you're better as an 18-year-old, you're going to play. I don't think that's coldness by any means. I just think that's, like, there used to be this thought in college football of the upperclassman has the advantage, and I'll give it to him until he proves he can't. There's not even that anymore. From day one, if you're 18 or 19, or you just came in from the portal and you're better, you bump out the other guy. That's, now, it's pro sports, so it should be held that way. We can call it college. By definition, it's not. It's pro sports, and you're going to treat it just like pro sports does now. That's why we have worldwide free agency going on in college football.
Brock Bowers was 18 years old, a true freshman. He scored 13 touchdowns last year.
He was better than the guy who was the upperclassman. Who'd they have?
You play.
They have Fitzpatrick. The guy the Falcons took. Yep. So guess what?
He's better he plays.
That's as simple as it gets. All right, let me bring in Kyle Wade, CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank, who's kind enough to have us out here being loud and distracting, and they're trying to do good work. So, Kyle, first of all, let me apologize, and it's good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being here, guys. We appreciate having you all in the house and appreciate all the support you give us.
Well, we love working with you guys. And we know this time of year especially, I think we're all spoiled to the fact that we know there's going to be a turkey or a ham or, you know, a big get-together with food on the table. There are a lot of folks that we talk about around the Atlanta community that aren't. So tell the listeners kind of what your initiative is this time of year and how they can take part in helping.
Yeah, well, this year in particular, there's a lot of challenge in the community. The inflationary environment that we're in is creating a lot of pressure on the families that we serve. We're essentially distributing the same amount of food right now as we did at the peak of the pandemic. In October, we saw 200,000 households, including about 575,000 people, come get food from our network in 1 month. So just an extraordinary amount of need. We're having to buy a lot of food right now because of the expiration of a lot of stimulus programs that were put in place during the pandemic. Spending close to $2 million a month to buy food to make up the difference and to meet that need. So right now, more than ever, we need financial support. People can go to our website, acfb.org, make a financial donation. Every dollar you donate helps us provide up to 4 meals to a neighbor in need, and that makes a huge difference this holiday season.
Yeah, and the funny thing is with inflation, people say, oh, it costs 30% more. No, it doesn't. Not if you don't have it. You spend the same, you just get a lot less. So that's the less food.
Well, it's less food, and you know, the impact of inflation is much greater on lower-income families. They spend a higher percentage of their income on the basics of food and gas and utilities and all those things.
But depending on how far away they are from an actual grocery store, the prices they pay anyway, it's just all stacked against them, man.
Right. That's a big deal. You think about some of the other things. School lunch programs have kind of gone back to normal. They were universally free for a while. And so if you're a family that was just outside qualifying for those programs, now you're providing those meals again. That adds to your cost. There's some other things that have expired. So it's just a huge amount of demand right now that we're trying to meet, and we need the community's help to meet it.
Kyle Wade's with the CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Okay, I've been real transparent on the air. I've talked about how my wife and I, and it was, I don't want to say selfish, that's too, but we got the warm fuzzy, like walking out with a big bag of food, and there's a box outside the grocery store, and we spend whatever is like $50, let's say. What we dropped in there, we could see, hey, we did that good. The scale that y'all operate on, the relationships y'all have, the ability, if you're looking to make impact, now whatever coupons you got, whether it's, you know, double coupon Tuesday, whatever, if you work with the ACFB and make your donations there, it provides meals for so many more folks in the community.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chuck, for saying that. You know, just to give people an idea of the scale, today, this day, we moved about 400,000 pounds of food out into the community just today. And so you compare that to what you just described that your wife and you dropped into the thing. For us to move that kind of food, we depend on relationships with lots of food suppliers, grocery store chains, manufacturers, farmers. Those relationships allow us, for every dollar you might spend on a can of grocery green beans at the grocery store, we can get about 9 cans of those green beans for that same dollar.
When I found that, I was like, yeah, my coupons ain't making up the difference on that.
No, and it's not just because we're buying it cheaper, but we get a lot of stuff donated that we can leverage, and just having the cash helps us certainly buy food, but to move the trucks and to have the people and all that stuff, you know, if you make a cash donation, we can stretch your dollar a lot farther than you can.
So the cash donations and both monetary and, as you heard Chuck talk about, the food drop-off, find out all that info at acfb.org. If you had one message as we finish up here to the listener about this time of year specifically, how big of a deal is it today? It's 365, it's big, but especially now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all can relate to a time in our lives when we have needed help. There are a lot of our neighbors right now who need help. The pressure of the holidays is exacerbating that need, and you can make a difference. Every individual in our community can make a difference, can make one of your neighbors' holidays better and brighter, and you can do that now by going to our website, acfb.org.
It's always a pleasure, Kyle. Thanks so much for having us out.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Wish everybody a happy holidays, and go Falcons.
We love it. Thank you, my friend. Again, acfb.org. That's the website that you can dig into to find out how you can help. Coming up next, if we remember whose trophy it is, Chuck will tell you the answer is pretty easy. We'll give you that answer next.
It's that time of year again. Kool-Aid Man, you ready for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Only playing the holiday classics, Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. We're on the Fan mobile app, and as the weather's going to get colder and means we're going to get darker a little bit earlier in the night, I would just say have...
The signal is failing.
Not yet. Have your app out in case the FM doesn't want FM and the AM doesn't want AM. The app always apps. Tap that app anytime, anywhere. You can also tap it in the morning when you're listening to the locker room. And Falcon fans, if you're a school teacher and you can use an extra 500.
What?
I said an extra 500. Attorney Ken Nugent and Grady Jarrett want to help you out this football season. For each Falcons game, Ken is donating $500 to teachers throughout Georgia. To register to win, go to attorneykennugent.com. One call.
Stand up, y'all.
That's not it. It's one call.
Big balls.
That doesn't even rhyme. One call.
Screw all y'all.
It's one call. That's all. Don't forget to tune in and catch Grady with the Locker Room every Tuesday morning at 8:30 as they recap the previous week's action.
I want to ask you real quick. There was a list that your quarterback was on.
Marcus Mariota. Well, he was my quarterback now. I'm in the Desmond Ridder era.
You don't know that. It hasn't been confirmed. Per Michael Rothstein.
Heard of him.
He's a writer. Mariota's 61.3% completion percentage is second lowest, quote, among full-time starters who haven't been benched. Basically, he's saying everybody who's playing like you has already been benched. There's like a separate category for you and one other guy, but everybody else playing like you and this other guy, everybody else has already been benched. So just you two. Oh,
now I'm fascinated to think about who the other guy is. Wait a minute. Like, should my mind be working that way?
No, you're looking for the uncomfortable. Like, who else is getting hell in his own town?
Do you know why, though? Nothing you could say to me would have me shocked, awed, or even frustrated. I mean, we knew what Marcus was coming in. I said the same thing all summer. He's too good for the team to be wretched. Not good enough for the team to be better than they really should be, and he's kind of lived up to that. He misses a million easy throws. He's at his worst in the pocket. He's at his best off script. He's had some good moments, but this change to me could have happened a couple of weeks earlier. We get ready now for the Desmond Ridder era.
Geno Smith's completing 74% of
the game. He might be an MVP candidate. I don't know if they'll win it. What do you got there? Do you have completion percentage? I'm trying to do the math on who else.
Taylor Heinicke hasn't been benched yet. Justin Fields.
What's Justin's completion?
Russell Wilson.
Oh.
He's it. 60.1.
At least he's got me.
Damn.
At least he's cheap. So if we remember what the trophy is and who the trophy belongs to, it'll give you a better idea who the answer is going to be on Saturday night.
The Heisman Trophy is the Downtown Athletic Club's award. It's not my award or anyone who has a vote. So if you have a vote, you really should follow the instructions of the person whose award it is, because it's their award to give. And if you have a vote, you are instructed to, I Google imaged this morning, Heisman ballot, the most outstanding college football player in America. Matt, if you took 100 calls right now, including from Stetson's mom and agent and high school best friend, do you think one person would say Stetson Bennett is the most outstanding college football player in America? Because that's what their award, they say, this is what our award is supposed to be.
I'm going to answer your question, I promise. Define most outstanding. Is that talent? Is that numbers? Is that team achievement because the player's good? Like, define that for me.
Most outstanding college football player.
Well, you just repeated it. You didn't define it. You just said it again.
You know what that means.
You're telling me the most talented then?
I'm saying most outstanding college football player.
All right, who is that? Because there's a chance it's not one of the quarterbacks that's there. Because the Heisman
Okay, see, that's where you're going. Because you know who I would vote for if I had like a 20-spot ballot? Somewhere on that list, if you're saying, Chuck, you have a ballot for our award. Okay, well, what am I supposed to vote on for your award? Mm-hmm. Our award is for the most outstanding college football player. Chuck, you have 20. Now, the reason I'm saying I have to end it, the first player on Georgia's roster I get to with Brock Bowers.
See, I'd go Jalen, then Brock.
Okay.
I mean, but yes.
And so if, now again.
But now you're doing most talented.
No, I'm not. I'm saying by their language, and I don't care who wins. I'm saying I don't.
Do you know the problem? Can I stop you? The problem with this is it's what Nick Saban did on Saturday night, embarrassing himself. Nick Saban, by politicking the way he did for Alabama, was saying, don't matter what you saw all season, we know we're still better than the four teams. What you're saying is most outstanding is regardless of what you did, how you proved
no,
it, how you didn't.
I'm saying somebody you watched every single Saturday wreck shop. Just absolutely wreck shop.
What do I say about context? Context is always king. Stetson was never asked to do that. And that should be a part of the context. If Stetson was on a team, and I'm going to say this and I mean it based on what I've seen out of him, if he played for USC or TCU or Ohio State, he would have been asked to do a hell of a lot more, and thus his numbers might look more in line with a couple of those other quarterbacks. I think that matters. That context has to matter. When Stetson was asked to ball, you know what he did? He balled.
Oh, absolutely. I remember going to a monster truck rally at the Georgia Dome, and it was described as, there was a like a Truckosaurus thing. It was a transformer.
Yeah.
Two-story, two-ton, flame-throwing, rocket-launching, car-crushing robot. I was like, holy hell.
On Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Okay. But if you tell me two-story, two-ton, flame-throwing, rocket-launching, car-crushing robot.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
That's what the Heisman winner is. If I showed up at the Georgia Dome and said, where is he? And you said, now, let me give you the context. I just want you to understand. When you tell me Heisman winner, I ain't expecting context. I'm expecting Fordzilla.
Who is Fordzilla then? Do we have one this year? Because I don't know that we do. Caleb Williams is good, but the way I've heard about Caleb Williams, you guys are telling me Caleb Williams is Michael Vick. Caleb Williams is nice. Caleb Williams also mistakes as much as the. I think he's going to win it, but there's no Fordzilla this year. There's no, oh my God, two-story Truckosaurus. Not this year. And that's why it's such a subjective thing. By the definition of most outstanding player, am I supposed to run the stats into that? Am I supposed to run the talent? I don't know. My head's about to explode.
I might look at Drake May, and he's a more outstanding college football player.
No, he's more talented.
And that's their award, not mine.
Here's a comp. I saw what he did against Georgia Tech, and I saw what Stetson did against Georgia Tech. I don't know.
Fair.
No, it wasn't fair. That had nothing to do with anything. I don't know.
You say whatever you want to. I'm saying Chuck, is not like when Adrian Peterson had like 30 touchdowns. You're like, well, maybe he's a good choice.
But I'm out of trying to define the award business. When A-Rod wins the MVP and I've got one half of the people telling me you can't blame him for the rest of the team not being great, he put up huge numbers, and the other half going, what value did he bring to a last place thing? I'm out of answers trying to understand what we define awards by anymore. It's a shame. I think the word value should be more important than that award. The Heisman, you said most outstanding.
That though they said.
Not you.
They said it.
I didn't say you wrote it on the website.
Stetson's their parameter?
Stetson's not Stetsosaurus. But
two-story, two-ton, flame-throwing, rocket-launching, car-crushing robot.
What was he in the first half the other night against LSU?
Yeah, a dime, man.
What was he in the first half against Tennessee?
Ding, ding, ding. He was shooting lasers.
What was he against Oregon?
Until they shut it down.
What about South Carolina?
Until they put Carson Beck in.
I'm just saying, he was, for those two quarters when they asked him to do
Georgia
stuff.
Yeah, Georgia whooped ass almost every Saturday, and Carson was like, all right, the last 15 minutes off, either literally on the sidelines or figuratively hand the ball off, carry out your fake.
I'm going to give Stetson the context champion award this year. He's getting my Stetson is the most outstanding context player in college football. I've created a new one. And I told Hoyt yesterday we're living in Stetson. He's moved from Bear to Stetson.
Okay, can you get the Heisman and like cut off like a quarter of it?
Here's
the three quarters Heisman.
No, you're on to something. We give Stetson half the awards since he only plays half the games. He gets the best half and then he sits. You're such a jerk. Can't even help yourself. Coming up next, it seems like Dansby Swanson just got
Dansby
more
Swanson.
Close. It seems like he got more expensive overnight. And all he did was sleep.
With your brother and two women?
I don't know. I think it was with Mal. Plus, one of George's best just received a Hall of Fame-level compliment. We'll talk about it next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.